Well, be finding 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The title of this lesson is Abiding Above Suffering. Abiding Above Suffering. There are many situations in life that cause us to suffer. It seems so unfair so many times. But the key to this whole thing is, if this happens to me in some way, how am I going to respond in a moment of suffering? And so, some think that God is not fair. They look around at other people and, why am I going through this? Nobody else is going through this, and they see it as unfair. Some think God is punishing them, and that some of that has come from teaching they've been under, that if you're going through a hard time, brother, God's got you behind the woodshed, and He's whipping the living daylights out of you as if what God allowed to happen on the cross wasn't enough. And so now, Him beating you up behind the woodshed, add that to the cross, and maybe you'll get into heaven. That's why so many people doubt their salvation. Some people think that it makes them wonder if they're even saved, because if God really loved me and I'm really saved, He would not allow this to happen to me. But remember, God is conforming you and me into the image of Christ. That doesn't mean He's doing this. That means He's holding us, loving us, guiding us how to respond. And as we respond His way, more and more we become like Christ. If we feel like a victim, then we don't learn and we don't grow and we become, like we talked about last week, bitter and resentful. So just remember this. I don't know who said it, and I've used this many times, but there was a big block of marble sitting there, and there was a famous sculptor going to do something with that big block of marble, and someone asked him, he was going to chisel and create a stallion out of this big block of marble, and someone said, how do you do this? How do you take that big block of marble and make a stallion out of it? He said, well, it's simple. He said, I pick up this chisel right here, and I pick up this hammer right here, and then I go over and I see the stallion, and I start chipping away everything that doesn't look like the stallion. And when I finish, there it is. The chisel and the hammer, now I don't want you to take that as God beating you up because He's mad at you. He's lovingly conforming you to the image of His Son. And if we don't suffer sometimes, it's almost impossible not to get so complacent that you just quit reading your Bible. You don't even think to pray. Next thing you know, I'm not even attending church. And then God allows some hard things to come into your life, but He's not beating you up. He's loving you like a father and a son and guiding you the right way. And sometimes it can be hard. So with that in mind, let's see what Paul said. He said, and starting in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 12, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. You know, he wrote most of the New Testament. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Two times he has said above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Notice he said, my grace. He said, it is sufficient. You can't add to it. He said, and my strength. He did not say your grace. He did not say your sufficiency. He did not say your strength. He said, my and my, he said, is made perfect in weakness. What do you mean by weakness? It doesn't mean you're weak because God is beating you down. What it's showing is this. When I learned that I cannot do this, it's no longer I, but Christ. That weakness of myself, but at the same time, immediately, that appropriating the indwelling Holy Spirit makes us strong, but it's not our strength, it's His. So he goes on to say, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, I know when you read this, you could think, Paul, you're lying to us. There's nobody that can enjoy this. We're going to look at this, and there is a way to see it is a good thing. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses. Why? For Christ's sake. What has this got to do with the sake of Christ? Because this is bringing me to the end of myself. So therefore, the Christ who's in me can more fully come through me as I abide in Him, rest in Him. So he says, for when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. In other words, when I realize, as Paul says, when I realize it's no longer I, but Christ, that's where the strength is. When it's all about me and my doing, something's missing. So, number one, if you're taking notes, understanding suffering. What did he say in verse 7 again, or first of 2 Corinthians 12? He said, a thorn in the flesh, notice, was given to me. What is Paul's thorn in the flesh? We can't really know what it is. We can only speculate. It could be the opposition and the persecution that he felt from religious leaders. I mean, people who were rejecting Christ, manipulating the law of Moses with the people to be in control, come to me to get to God. It could have been that, and that had to be part of it. It could have been spiritual temptation, because he mentioned in that passage a couple of times about the fact that it being exalted above measure. He mentioned that a couple of times. So it could have been people were looking to him as a spiritual leader, and that could cause pride. And it could have been sexual temptation. We don't know, so we cannot say it was sexual temptation. But among men, and he was a single man, sexual temptation is a big one among all men on earth for all time. It could have been that. We do not know. Cannot put that on him, but it could have been eye trouble. All of us have eye trouble, the middle letter of sin, the big eye. But I'm specifically talking about physically, because he was blinded on the road to Damascus. Now, he wasn't blind here, but could there be something wrong with his eye or eyes because of that initial, even though God gave him his sight, could there have been something from that, that he was having a problem with his vision? So, we don't really know, but we know this. What he's saying here, knowing all that he went through, we know that we can learn, how do you deal with suffering? Because Paul absolutely suffered. There's no doubt about it. And he also caused suffering on a lot of people before he found Christ. So, as we think of suffering, let's just go back, just think of Satan's sin. When pride was found in the heart of Lucifer, he became Satan and was cast down from heaven to earth. Think about that. There he was, as I say every Sunday, in the direct presence of God. And now he's wanting to be like God. I will, I will, I will. He's so influential, and he's still influencing people today. A third of the angels left with Lucifer, Satan, left the direct presence of God, came to earth. That's Satan's sin. That's where everything started. Everything that you see when you spot check the news all started right there with Lucifer. And the sin of pride, which is the one God hates the most, is the sin of pride. All right, think of Adam's sin. There were only two people on earth, Adam and Eve. Romans 5:12. Listen to this. Therefore, just as through one man, a physical man that God created, sin entered the world, Lucifer was cast out of heaven. He came down to this earth, and there was only Adam and Eve. And it was through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. And death through sin. In other words, Adam and Eve would have lived forever until they listened to Satan and sin came into their heart. And from that moment forward, even though they lived a very long life, their physical body started going down, because sin came into mankind. The reason we physically suffer is because of what sin came into the world, and death came with it. That is what happened. We're going to die one day. There's no way to stop this unless, of course, the rapture of the church. So, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus, because of this, because of what happened with Lucifer in heaven, who became Satan, came to this earth, went after Adam and Eve, what happened? Death spread to all men because all sinned. Truth is, when we came out of our mother's womb as babies, never having acted out a sin, the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins when we were born. We're in that state, and it all started with sin. And so, our sin spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see, God did not create us as robots. God created us. We have a conscience, a God-given conscience, and God can impress on us the truth. God lets us say yes or no. So, God created man with a will so he could make choices, and we can either say, I want to be enthroned by God, or I want him not to be in my life. I want to dethrone him in my daily living. I want basically to be worshiped by human beings around me. That can all be traced back to Lucifer wanting to be like the Most High God, tempted Adam and Eve, and they both fell into sin. From there, sin came to the whole human race, and I believe the bottom line for all of us is that desire to be worshiped. So, we see mankind rejecting God and rejecting others in our pursuit of building our own little kingdom, all the while dying, is where mankind is. And so that's the reason we have suffering all over the world. We have since sin came into the world. The stuff that's going on right now with all the nations, what's happening to this nation right now, the midterms, they're expecting a lot of violence, this midterms election. All this, we can talk about it politically, and I think we would talk about it according to God's Word, and we would be correct in what we're saying and thinking. But the bottom line is this, the whole problem is three letters. Sin is started in the heart of Satan, came to the human race, and it's affected us in every single way. I never will forget, I think I've told y'all this before, many years ago, right where Camilla and Linden, those streets come together, Camilla and Linden. There's a retirement center there called Camilla and Linden Towers. And I used to lead a Bible study there while I was in seminary. And I never will forget, right around Christmas holidays, there was a man there named Bobby. He was always in a wheelchair. He never missed. He always had his Bible and he read his Bible, but he had this look on his face like he was angry. Well, then one time I was able to talk with him a little more, and it was right around I think we had already had Christmas. And he was angry because nobody in his family came to see him for Christmas. They didn't even check on him or anything. He said it's that way every year. And I said, well, tell me your story. And he started telling me about his childhood. He was born and raised in the Mississippi Delta, and that's where I'm from originally. Grew up in a farming environment. It was back during the times of the Depression. So you ate out of your garden. There was not a lot of money. Everybody had to get up and work. Nobody could just sit around and do nothing. And he said, not only that, because I was the oldest child, I could not go to school. I had to work on the farm to make enough for us to exist. He said, but I had younger brothers and sisters who were too young to work in the field, so they were able to go to a small school. So he worked with his dad 7 days a week. His name was Bobby. His brothers and sisters, who were a lot younger than him, were able to go to school, and they did well. Things got better. We came out of the Depression, things got better. They were able to continue on with their education. Bobby was not, though things did get better, but he was never able to get an education. In his mind and in his emotions, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have eaten. You were able to go get an education while I was out in the field hoeing. And he was bitter and angry, and he was like that the rest of his life, and they didn't want to be around him. Because when they got around him, that made them feel sad, they felt he doesn't love me, he rejects me, and all these type things. And so now he's at Camilla and Lyndon Towers. There's a lot more to his story there. He's at Camilla and Lyndon Towers, and he's hurt, he's sad, and not even the people at Camilla and Lyndon Towers, they didn't even want to be around him. His family did not want to be around him. He did pray to receive Christ. I taught for 2.5 years there. I saw a little bit, but not a lot. But he did believe and receive, and he was faithful. But he was pretty silent as an individual. So, resistance and resentment leads to depression and despair, but prayerfulness and patience leads to maturity and victory. So, we're going to look at the different ways we suffer. The whole key, as I said at the beginning, how am I going to respond to what I'm going through? And it's so many things we can respond to. He responded the wrong way that dominated his whole life right up to his death. So, let me ask you, where have you suffered? How have you suffered? And has it made you beautiful for Christ because you responded the right way, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians? Or would you say, no? To be honest with you, I have a tendency to become, I'm becoming more like Bobby. It's like an oyster. You can have an oyster down, way down deep, because that's where they are. And then this little particle can drop into the water and just float and go down and get inside that oyster. It irritates that oyster. But inside of that oyster is what they call a milky white substance called mother of pearl that starts to secrete because of that irritant that is floated down inside of that oyster. And eventually that becomes a beautiful pearl that's very expensive. We can either let suffering cause us to become more like Christ, or we can become, as we said last week, a bitter, frustrated old man like Potter in the movie It's a Wonderful Life. So, how do we respond to this suffering? Number one, expect it. Listen to what Paul said in verse 8. He said, concerning this thing, we don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. We can speculate, which we've already done. But he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So, whatever this thing was causing him to suffer. But because God had revealed so many things to him spiritually, even though he was struggling, he said, just let it go. Reminds you of the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me, not my will, but thine be done. He still died on the cross. He said, let this go away from me. If you're suffering with something physically, if it's a physical problem that could take your life, it is not God punishing you and beating you up. It is the fact that we're all dying daily. I don't want to be negative. It's just the truth. I visit people in the hospitals once a week. We're dying daily. Some will live to be 90-something, and then they'll finally just die. Some in their 20s will find they have cancer, shock everybody. We can name 100,000 things, and none of us can know. Some of it is in our DNA. You can watch, you know, my mom had this, my dad had this, I'll probably have this. We could sit there and get so angry about it and not see it correctly that we'll get like Bobby and be negative instead of saying, no, there is nothing that can get to me without God knowing. And if He has allowed it, I'm going to walk in it. And the truth is this, if He calls me home, this same man said, absent from the body, present with the Lord. This same man said, I long to be absent from this body and present with the Lord. He said to be far better. So we could either see it like I'm a victim, God's beating me up. Why is no one else going through this? Or we could say, it's God's will. I'm going to do my best to keep coming through it, to get healthy or whatever, and move forward. But if it's cancer, if it's inoperable, if it's all these things, I'm going to trust God to take me through it and call me home in His perfect timing. I guarantee you, if all of us could go into heaven for 5 minutes and say, look, God has given me permission to give you this ticket back to earth. There would be not one single soul that would take that free ticket to get back down here. Trust me. They would say, brother, if you knew what we knew, because we now have the mind of Christ, you wouldn't even present that to us. You don't even know what you're missing. And finally, when you get here, which is going to seem like this to us, I'm going to remind you forever, I've been here longer than you. Physically suffering, we need to remember our bodies are dying daily, and just settle with that. Do not compare yourself with others. I talked to a man the other day who said his dad and granddad lived to be over 100, and they smoked and drank every day starting as a teenager. And I said, you got to be kidding me. That's not fair, is it? All right? Emotionally. All right. Suffering emotionally because of what he did. I talked to a guy early last Tuesday morning, last week, who was raped as a boy. And it led him into alcohol, drug, and he became homeless. God is using him now to help homeless. But he said it was horrible. I could not get that out of my mind, could not get that out of my head. And he was angry. He said all of his relationships were affected and people did not know that happened to me. It happened by a deacon. I think I told y'all this last week. It happened by a deacon in a church, in the church house, as we used to call it. It happened. And now God uses him to lead guys to Christ and everything. And he didn't go down that same path this weirdo went down. He didn't do that. But he remained bitter most of his life because of what happened. And that bitterness affected all of his relationships with people who didn't even know that happened to him when he was a boy. So, emotionally, we need to remember, we are fallen creatures living among fallen creatures. Sin causes hurt and separation in all of our lives. So, sin came into the world from heaven through Satan in Adam and Eve, which was transferred to all of us. Our physical bodies die. If you don't believe it, go to any cemetery. And what happened to all these people? Same thing's going to happen to you. Sin came into the world, caused physical dying. It caused emotional. Sin causes emotional problems because we relate. We're fallen, so we don't respond to when a fallen person hurts us. We respond the wrong way to what they're doing wrong. All that happens, that affects us emotionally. So what is sown is reaped. If I don't respond the right way, it's like planting a seed in the ground and eventually it's going to sprout up. Sowing, what is sown is reaped. As individuals, we are either sowing to the flesh are sowing to the Spirit. So, troubles come my way physically. I die at an earlier age. He's not against me. If He was against me, He never would have died on the cross. I'll actually be better off. Relationally, raped as a boy. This guy was raped as a boy. And that's just one thing. Thousands of other things have happened to thousands of millions of other people. Emotionally, sin. Sin hurts the physical body. Sin hurts the emotions. But now, spiritually, I see my physical body's dying. I can't stop it. Adrian's gone. He was a godly man. Charles Stanley's gone. Godly man. Stephen Oford's gone. Godly man. My dad, godly man. Gone. Physically. Emotionally, interacting with fallen people, it hurts. You go down to Bill Street to hand out gospel tracts, somebody may spit at you or tell you you're stupid. Expect it. Expect it. Spiritually speaking, look at Ephesians 6:12. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Oh, I thought that's what the problem was. Oh no, something so much bigger. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. Talking this moment called time. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, in verse 7, what he said. He said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. We're struggling physically. We're struggling relationally. And back behind it all is what Paul describes. It is a spiritual battle that goes back to the original sinner of pride, Lucifer, who's now Satan, legions of demons. And I agree with you, demon possession is far bigger than what we realize. All that's going on, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickednesses in the heavenly places. Paul said, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. We're experiencing that. Physically, emotionally, relationally, we're experiencing that. So, suffering can sometimes be satanic oppression. He cannot indwell us because we have the Spirit of God in us. He cannot come into a true child of God. But because of the influence of Satan, he's guiding people's minds. It's a spiritual warfare. And some of these people are in our proximity, and it's affecting us, and it causes us to suffer. How do you deal with this? How do you, when you respond to suffering, expect it? Paul said, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Well, how do you deal with this? You release it. Look at verses 9 through 10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. Why? Because for when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. Why? Because I get to a point where I realize I can't. God never said I could. He always said He would. I'm totally dependent on Him. The medicine's not working. The doctor doesn't know what else to do. Relationally, I've tried my best to forgive them and for them to receive me as I am. They won't accept me, so they remain with an unforgiving spirit. Relationally, physically. But then if we respond the right way, like Paul in his thinking, I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. When we take a deep breath and say, this all started long ago, and it's come down through the human race, and I'm in the human race. What matter in eternity, awkwardness in time? This has happened to everybody else around me too. Maybe not to the degree that it's happened to me. Maybe the seriousness of it, the physical part, the relational part, some of the things don't happen to all of us the same way. And it seems so unfair. The moment you start thinking it seems so unfair, you're already resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So he says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Or like Bobby, live the rest of your life just like this. That was so unfair. He did tell me that some of his brothers and sisters became very wealthy in Memphis. So release it. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. The pressures and sufferings in our life can generate a dependence, faith, trust that results in the power of the Holy Spirit. When everything's going well, you just simply do not grow spiritually. When things are kind of hard, you see things more clearly. You become in a positive way more dependent on God, and you realize more and more, I understand Paul. I can't. He never said I could. He says the flesh profits nothing. You see it to a deeper degree, and God uses you more than those, and you don't want to be competing. God is able to use you more and me more than those when everything's going their way. And that same thing can happen to us. Everything's going my way. The moment we resist and resent what we don't understand, instead of seeing it like Paul saw it, the power stops. The Holy Spirit does not leave you or forsake you. What's happening is this. I'm choosing, because God gave me a choice, I'm choosing not to allow the Holy Spirit to have all there is of me in this, and I'm just going to sit, soak, and sour because this is not fair. Or I'm going to stand up and do the duty that lies nearest with the time that I have. It's kind of like a waterway that's flowing, and it has a dam. And if that dam is up, that water stops, and it can't flow anymore, and it just builds up here and has a beautiful lake. But if they need some electricity to be generated, they lower the dam, and then the water flows. It goes over these generators that generate electricity, and then the electricity goes into the village down below and lights up everything. If we don't respond the right way to suffer, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, which causes the relational problems, if we don't respond the right way, God's not angry with us. He's not beating us up because He's not even surprised. He knows everything. But we stop the flow of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. But if we would say, no, I'm going to respond like Paul. I'm seeing things. I'm going to respond like Paul. God uses you, and people want to know, how in the world can that man be so happy when it's like his situation is not good, but it's like it doesn't touch him. And they began to get under conviction themselves about their own personal life. I need to know what it is He knows. And God will use you to lead people to Christ and then to help them grow. So trust in the indwelling Holy Spirit to give you what you need in the midst of suffering. So, since we were kids, we've been singing a song. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. Oh, you're in charge? I love you. Yes, I'm in charge. Or you would not be here. Mold me and make me after my will. No, 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 no. If I want you to mold me and make me after my will, I'm going to end up like Bobby, because people are not going to worship me and do things the way I want them to do it. Mold me and make me after thy will, not mine, while I'm what? Waiting, yielded, and still. That's abiding. That's resting in the one who created you. And really, it's the only way to handle suffering, whatever kind of suffering it is in your life, is what we see with Paul. And I know this. Yeah, but Chris, you don't know what it's like physically to go through this, that, or other. I totally understand that. And I'm not against anybody going through a hard time. But the person going through a hard time does not need to project and make other people feel bad that they're not going through a hard time like this person going through a hard time. And I've seen this over and over again. It's really backwards. Robert Murray McShane said, what matters in eternity? Awkwardness in time. In other words, we're passing away. Even if it's awkward right now, we're not here long compared to an eternity that never ends. So in other words, seeing it from here back to here is a wise way to do it. This too will pass. How am I going to respond to it until it passes or until He calls me home? That's what Paul struggled with. What we're talking about right now is what he learned. That's when he said, I welcome all this because I'm realizing when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. It's like, it's so backwards that Satan would never want us to see this or think about this because he couldn't control us. He controls us all day long by making us compare ourselves with others. This is not fair. Why am I going through this? They don't. They live to be over 100, and they were bar hoppers, and they live to be over 100, and all this stuff. It's brief, but at the same time, nothing could happen to us without God knowing it. And if He allowed it, as you can see with Paul, there is a reason. So the only thing to do is surrender to it and say, I accept whatever you got coming, I accept it. But everything inside of me wants to say, this is not fair. And we start comparing ourselves with other fallen human beings. It's kind of like this, Tim. Your friend does not know we're talking about him right now. And if we could all see him, we'd think, oh my word. But we've talked about him 4 or 5 times in this class. He does not even know it. If we see that from eternity back to earth time, Memphis, Tennessee, we're touched by that. He doesn't know it, and he's in agony and no hope. But if he's thinking eternally, eventually I'm going to be out of this body. Thinking correctly, making a way to get to church and things, is correct thinking, and it's actually inspiring us. He doesn't even know it. What matter in eternity, awkwardness in time, and how we respond to awkwardness in time affects the spiritual warfare that's going on in the world that's controlled by Satan and his legions of demons and fallen creatures. Just like Joni Erickson Tata, is that her name? She jumped off dove in somewhere and it was shallow or whatever, and she's paralyzed from the neck down. And she has had an effect on millions of people. Think of Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a concentration camp. And now people know her story. Think about Oswald Chambers. I quote him all the time. He died at 43 of a ruptured appendix in Cairo, Egypt. He never wrote a book himself. They took what he did all those years and put it into a book. It's the number two Christian classic, My Utmost for Its High. He never knew that. He'd been in heaven. I think God liked him more than us, is what I think.